Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens, I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we have almost 5,000 participants across the world. If this is the first time, though, you've come across our podcast, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you're a regular, well, welcome back. It's good to have you along again. Every profession needs its heroes, the people who have the courage to challenge convention, drive outstanding achievement, and give our discipline a noble name. In this episode, we'll be speaking in depth to one such hero, learn about what they do, how they got here, and a bit about what's made them who they are today. I'm delighted to be joined today by consultant Richard Robinson. Richard, welcome to our podcast.
Dave, it's an absolute pleasure to speak with you.
It's so good to see you. So for the benefit of our listeners, where do we find you today?
Well, physically, you find me in a little cottage in West Dorset, which is a side project I've got going on at the moment. I'm renovating a cottage down here, which is fabulous. That's where you find me physically today.
And you're a consultant, so I'm guessing that means that we wouldn't always every day find you in your side project in Dorset, but actually quite often on client site.
Yeah, absolutely. So I divide my time probably three ways. So some time down here in Dorset, some time back at my home in Windlesham working remotely, and then time on site with customers, with people I'm working with. A lot of that happens to be in central London, so I'm still commuting in quite a bit. But I'm in those kind of places usually.
And what do you consult in? Do you have a kind of specialist area that you guide organisations on?
Yeah. So for me, I suppose over the last 4 or 5 years, I've been running a bit of a side gig around marketing strategy, execution, and technology consulting. And I've been running that alongside some of my day jobs. And recently, it's become apparent there's a huge opportunity out there. And so I'm spending more and more time with customers specifically, helping them build their own businesses around that marketing strategy, the execution, and then the technology piece around that.
That gives you a pretty broad remit. So is there, I'm going to press you, is there a part of that that you kind of particularly enjoy, or where you particularly choose to focus, or where you think you can add the most value?
Yeah, well, I think it's almost the joining of things together that I enjoy the most. So for me in marketing, we've got this challenge of combining data with technology, with content, and actually with people, with our target audience. And I think bringing those elements together and helping organizations to understand how to do that properly is where I get a huge amount of satisfaction.
And you've got a huge amount of career experience to be able to bring to this. You've worked for some big name organizations. You've had, I'm going to make you blush, a pretty illustrious career. So maybe can you tell us how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, wow, that's a big question. And as you know, I'm reasonably old as well, so it could take a long time, but I'll keep it brief. So a classic person of my generation, I went to university and read history. No idea what I was going to do to coming out of university, and ended up working in the civil service. And finally, as part of that part of my career, spent a lot of time as a strategy planner for a non-departmental government body, as they used to call them. And I find that really fascinating, that. And it really taught me the power of data and insights in educating and developing strategies. So that was a really important kind of foundation from where I started. I then looked around and saw all of my friends working in technology, and not that I'm too commercialistic, but they were all earning a lot more money than I was. So I thought, well, how do I take the skills that I've got and get myself into technology somehow? And I made the leap into a technology advisory and consulting business that was predominantly focused around helping technology brands enter markets, win market share, engage with customers. And that's, I suppose, is where my love and my passion for marketing really came to life, because I spent a huge amount of my time actually going in and helping companies build marketing strategies. And that was across using data and insight and market research and such like to provide that way forward. So I think that's probably where that passion for marketing came in. I then moved around a little bit, and I spent a couple of years working for a media publisher. So a company that ran a number of publications globally, or 300 publications globally, if I remember correctly, a whole bunch of websites. I spent a lot of time building, I guess, what we today would call integrated marketing campaigns for businesses. And that really was an introduction to the whole world of media and advertising, which is something that I was not really cognizant of beforehand. And so that was interesting. And then I took the leap from working in that, let's call it, slightly more traditional publishing environment, and then worked at you may call the bleeding edge, and went and worked for Google for a very long time, and had a huge experience at Google about just understanding how having big, audacious, hairy objectives and goals and going after them and working in collaborative teams and putting a lot of focus around driving a particular goal and ambition, particularly back in the day, in that very early days of digital marketing, which was absolutely instrumental in kind of building my knowledge and understanding of how these things work. And from that, the technology piece really came back to the fore. And so I spent a couple of years working and running actually advertising technology companies, and latterly data technology and marketing technology businesses, predominantly across Europe, Middle East, and Africa.
I don't know how you managed to summarize such experience into such a short period of time. I guess what's interesting is you've worked for really very large organizations, obviously Google, yeah, and also much smaller firms. What's the key, from a marketing perspective, what would you say is the key difference between those?
Apart from the word budget.
And the staff.
And the staff, yeah, absolutely. So I think the key thing, and one thing I didn't mention, is I also took a little sojourn in and co-founded a business as well at one stage. So that really was four of us sat in a room trying to figure out what the heck was going on. In terms of the marketing things, I think the thing that many smaller companies forget, in my mind, is that they forget to do the basics really, really well. So what they tend to do is they tend to try and drive for the latest shiny object, whether that's what's happening with the metaverse or on TikTok and these types of things, which are amazing tools and play a really big role in everything that we can do. But I think that what's really important is just to get the foundations right. So a number of companies that I've worked with, and at the company I founded, we had no data. We had no data to start with, no database, no understanding of who our customers were, what they liked, what they didn't like, those types of things. And so I think that, when I spend time with smaller companies, or have done, it's a focus around those foundations. Let's get these foundations in place. With larger companies, you tend to have that in place, not universally, but you tend to have that in place. And then that's where you start to kind of riff off on the new technologies, and you start to do some quite interesting things. You tend to have a little bit more budget, so you can then have budget set aside for experimentation, those types of things. But for me, it's all about, let's get the foundations right and build from a place of strength.
So you've been through your career in the kind of fast moving environment of business marketing. And what I'm expecting your pick up on MarTech here specifically, but what would you say are the key trends that we've seen in business marketing over the last few years?
Well, the one thing that surprised me is not being a key trend, which business marketing has always, in my opinion, had an advantage over B2C marketing, is data and insight on our customers. And the problem has always been that data and that insight is sitting in a salesperson's head or a customer success manager's head, rather than being in a piece of technology that everyone can access. So I think that whole technology piece is starting to be the repository, to be the single source of the truth about what is happening and who our customers are. I think that's really, really important. And business marketers are now very much realizing that. We're seeing also, you know, there's in all parts of marketing, Dave, you know this better than I, there's buzzwords everywhere. And so the last number of years, we're all talking about account-based marketing, ABM this, ABM that. Back in the day, I remember that being almost like key customer marketing or key account marketing. And then before that, it was something else. So it's not that there's kind of revolution happening in my mind. It's very much, it's an evolution and an awakening to the power of some of the data that we've got, and then some of the technology that can help us use that, which I think is really important.
And where does that go? So if the last 5 years have been about waking up to it and beginning to use it, does that mean we're really going to start reaping the rewards of that in the next 5 years?
I hope so. But in addition to that, I think there's going to be some supplementary layers on top of that. So if we look at the way that many business marketers work today, is that we kind of segment our customers based on company size and industry sector and the amount of spend with us and all of those wonderful things. What we've tended to forget is the people behind those decisions. And so what I see moving forward is a layer on top of that, which is more around the kind of the psychology of the buyer or the behavioral science that goes behind that buying process. And to understand that, we really need to unpick who our customers are, start to understand who they truly are and how they act and react to different messaging and different prompts and nudges and things like that. So I think we will start to reap the reward, absolutely, and we are starting to do that, but we'll be adding additional layers on top of that. And by that, I don't just mean additional personalization. It's truly understanding who our customers are, engaging with them in the right way, not just spelling their name correctly in an email.
And I guess there's a tightrope to be walked in all of this, because what we've seen in the same kind of period of data awakening that you've been talking about has been an awakening of society to the dangers and risks around the same, which has led to things like legislation around GDPR, for instance. Do you think that we will continue to be able to navigate that tightrope effectively in years to come?
It's a really interesting point and something that I can get on my little soapbox about. What we had is, was it back in 2018, GDPR regulations came in, the data regulations in the UK and across Europe. And in my humble opinion, that came about because there was not a proper value exchange between brands and consumers or their customers. So it was a case of, I'm a brand, I'm going to take all of the data I can from you, and I'm not going to give you anything in return. In fact, I'm taking all that data and I'm not doing anything with it. I'm just taking the data. And we got to a stage where consumers and then legislators decided that this was not the right thing to do. And so they brought in data regulations. And I think that's been really good, really positive. It's made all of us, no matter what marketing discipline we're in, really tidy up our act, sort out our data, make sure that we are complying to what we need to be complying to. So it's a very, very big positive step forward. However, if we just go through the last 2 years of our existence, we've gone through a stage where people have been really, really worried about their data and who's been using it, to a stage now that we're all very used to walking into a restaurant or a shop, scanning a QR code, letting the government know that we are there, daily updating an app that says, you know, are we feeling sick or not? And so there's been this kind of real pendulum swing from real concern about who's got our data to suddenly, oh no, I don't care because it's for the greater national, international good. So I think there's going to be that pendulum is going to swing back and forth over the coming years. But the basic principles of, you know, providing the right value exchange for whoever our audience is, the right value exchange for the data that we're collecting from them. So we've got to give them something back, and making sure that we're storing and controlling that data in the most secure way possible is fundamental. We have to be doing that. So if we've got that in place, then I think that, again, I think that there will be a slight easing in the consumers or the customers' mind of what data they're willing to share. I think as that comes in, we'll be able to take more advantage of that and provide our customers with an even better experience.
What about the impact on the discipline of marketing, though? One of the things that you didn't mention in your quick career summary was, you know, you've been very heavily involved, for instance, with the IDM over the years, and played a role as a real advocate for business marketing as a profession. Do you think that the last couple of years have tarnished the name of marketing in people's eyes? And is there a job to be done around that?
So yes, you're right. I was very fortunate to spend 8 years or more chairing the IDM and then the DMA's B2B Marketing Council. And I'm still very privileged to have a seat on that council. I think that there's wider issues around getting people into marketing as a career, because people don't necessarily understand what it is and don't understand the value that it can bring. And I hate to use some very trite quotes of marketing is the colouring in department and those types of things, but it does still play on people's minds. As part of the DMA, we've been working on an initiative to get young people into marketing very early in their career. So those just leaving school or just leaving university, and trying to attract them into marketing as a career that they may not have thought about doing. And I think it's really important that we continue to put a stamp on the professionalism of marketing as a whole. And, you know, from your perspective, my perspective, B2B marketing in particular, I think we need to have that stamp of professionalism. I think it's really important that initiatives such as responsible marketing are truly understood by those in marketing, that we are making sure that we're following the guidelines, following the rules, and innovating the way that we engage with customers on the back of that, not by doing, you know, things that have happened in the past that have just been there to erode our the way that we engage with our prospects.
And what about the responsibilities of those people that the IDM and others successfully do bring into our profession? What do you think are the two or three things that everybody entering the profession needs to remember to ensure that actually we keep giving our profession the noble name it deserves?
That's a really good point, a really good question. And I think that for me, it's got to start with respect of the customer, whoever the customer may be. Always put yourself in their shoes. Is this the way that you would like to be treated? Is this the way that you would like a brand to act or react with you? I think that is number one. I think number two is related to that regulation piece, which is understanding that there are rules and regulations and guidelines and best practices in place, and they're in place for a reason. They've been built up over a number of years. So making sure that you're following those. Now, yes, continue to innovate, continue to push the boundaries, but make sure that you don't step too far. There's been a number of companies since the beginning of marketing that have overstepped that mark. But I think now we've got to have it as part of our post-it note on our desk of kind of where that line is and what we want to make sure that we don't overstep that.
There's a question I ask everybody in these interviews, which is for you to give a bit of a recommendation to our listeners on something to read or to listen to or to watch that actually would be a really good use of their time as a business marketer and make them a better business marketer as a result. So Richard, what would be your recommendation?
Okay, so that's again a really great question. From my mind, there's a plethora of fabulous podcasts, fabulous books out there, which, you know, we all know, and we can just Google and find them. Of course, no doubt I should mention the BMC content, which is absolutely brilliant.
Of course.
But in terms of what I do, and I'm a prolific reader, and now more so, an avid listener to podcasts. I have to admit, I do listen to podcasts at 1.5 speed, just because I want to get more and more content. But for me, I get the greatest inspiration not from reading stuff that myself or my colleagues, my peers are writing, but looking outside of our core function. So I read quite a lot of behavioral science and psychology content, which is great. There's a great book called The Chimp Paradox by Dr. Steve Turner, really kind of helps you understand people and how they act and react. But if I were to give one recommendation, I think it's probably take a look at the stuff that the British journalist Matthew Saeed is producing. He's got a fabulous podcast called Sideways. I think it's on BBC Radio 4. And he's also produced a number of really, really outstanding books around black box thinking, radical ideas, things like that. So taking ideas from outside of our practice and bringing them into our practice, I think, is a really fabulous way forward.
That's a great tip. And Richard, if people want to reach out to you to find out more, how can they get in touch?
So a couple of ways. Obviously, LinkedIn, just find Richard Rumson on LinkedIn and you can get me that way. Or you can contact me via my email address, which is rrobinson@coplo.com.
Do you want to spell the domain name?
So it's rrobinson, rrobinson, and the at coplo, coplow.com.
Perfect. Richard, thanks very much.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for the time, Dave.
And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guest, Richard Rumson. And thanks to our technical man from Through the Eye, Andrew Gratian. Thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can. And email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk. I hope to see you again. Thanks for listening.